a book that came out this spring that has been enormously popular. That is the work called The Libel Code, written by Michael Drosman. And building on the work that has been going on among a number of Israeli mathematicians and rabbinic scholars who claim that they have found secret coded messages in the Bible. And their technique basically is to have their computer search for a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And typically it's to search for a particular word in the Hebrew alphabet, though in principle I guess you could do it by just finding anything fine. But search for a particular letter, the first letter of the word, and then move on through the text until you find the second letter of the word. And then that sets the spacing, and then you move that same distance spacing down through the text further, and if the next letter is the third letter of the word, then you've made it here. You're headed for a hit of some sort, I guess, and if the next one's a fourth letter, et cetera, you're on until you see whether you get it or not, and basically use computers to search in this way to find a particular thing you're looking for. And the claim that Drosman makes is that a number of modern people have shown up in the text of the Bible, coded in the text of the Bible, and things said about them. So there's things said about Kennedy, and there's things said about Roosevelt and Einstein and such. And the most exciting hit he made was the only place in which they were able to find anywhere in the Old Testament the words Yitzhak Rabin coded. They found that this was crossed by a statement, assassin will assassinate. And they claim also to find in the vicinity, though after the fact, the name of the assassin, Amir, his last name, I guess, and some other things, a year, and things of that sort. So that's rather impressive sort of thing that they've been doing. In fact, on the cover, this best hit they've got is right here. You've got Yitzhak Rabin running down here, and assassin will assassinate across here. That looks, if you want to see what that looks like better, here's what it looks like here. Now, you are looking at Hebrew. I think you can probably tell that so you can get a little better focus. But you are not looking at a page of the Hebrew text of the Bible. The spacing between these letters vertically is 4,772 letters between each of those two letters. So what they have done here is they've got the whole text of the Old Testament in Hebrew, and have now set it up with line lengths 4,772, which you obviously see only a little bit in either direction, so as to get these lined up above them, above one another. And then this text, assassin will assassinate, that is actually a continuous sequence of letters in the Hebrew code. So I will probably try and, in order not to get too sidetracked, and in order not to forget too many details, I'll stick fairly close to my text here in front of me, except I'll show some overheads and try and draw some colored circles on a few things and that sort of thing. If you will pardon me, I'm going to take off my jacket. For some years now, as I mentioned, several Israeli mathematicians and rabbis have been investigating the idea that the Bible contains code words hidden in the text. I give you a reference to an article that appeared in a statistical journal and which is printed in the back of Drosman's Bible code, but also I remember seeing things mentioned in probably Christianity Today or World Magazine or something like that several times over the past few years going along those same general directions. Words are claimed to validate the divine authorship of the Bible and the rabbinic understanding of it. That's very standard in the presentations that the rabbis give anyway. Drosman does not make so much of that. And to give us information about the future, especially about Israel, in the age. Recently, some of this material has been published in a popular presentation for lay readers by Michael Drosman in his book, The Bible Code. Drosman is not a rabbi. He's Jewish. He would not consider himself a religious Jew. He had written on a number of occasions for the Washington Post and apparently got interested in this a few years ago when he heard about it and began to talk to some of the guys involved. Using computers to search a text, these investigators look for hidden words that are spelled by letters spaced at equal distances in the text. That is, the distance between each of the letters of the word is equal, whether that be immediately adjacent, or four letters apart, or 1,000 letters apart, or 4,772 letters apart, as we see in this particular one. In one example, Drosnin finds the name of former Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin in close proximity to the phrase assassin will assassinate. Context also contains the year Rabin was killed and the assassin's name. In spite of this rather impressive success, some of the predictions Drosnin has found have not come true. I can find you one here. Page 160 of the Bible Code, we have this text. Prime Minister Netanyahu actually runs up this direction, so backwards if you like. Rahm Netanyahu. And then here, the square boxes, death, July to Amman. Top, Amman. His soul was cut off, here. Here, murder. Okay. We will come back and look at these a little bit here. Delayed. That, in fact, is what you get. Apparently, while Drosnin was trying to get this book published with the press prediction that Netanyahu would also be assassinated, the date passed, and so Drosnin looks around some and finds the word delayed. That might be somewhat impressive until you find out how easy it is to find three-letter words in a text that size. Come back and talk about that. So in spite of this rather impressive success with Yitzhak Rabin, some of the predictions Drosnin has found have not come true, and he sketches them in about 10 pages near the back of the book. The proposed Bible code, like the claim that the gospel message is displayed in the constellations, is certainly attractive to people who are Bible believers. And certainly God is capable of doing something of that sort, should he choose to. And I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we have any good evidence that he's chosen to do something of that sort? The thing that struck me as I was reading through Drosnin's Bible code was that although he had some pretty impressive stuff, it did not appear to line up with the Bible's own claims regarding prophecy. So I suggest here some biblical problems with the Bible code. There are good biblical reasons for thinking that this is not God's work. First of all, the Bible does not make much provision for true prophecy that doesn't come true. Deuteronomy 18 clearly indicates that unfulfilled prophecy is a mark of false prophets. And this is a characteristic feature of biblical teaching elsewhere. I give you 1 Kings 22 and Isaiah 42 through 46, Jeremiah 28. The book of Jonah does allow for the possibility that a prophecy might be postponed if those for whom the disaster is predicted should repent. Definitely get that flavor in Jonah. And in the footnote there, I have a couple other references into prophets that seem to point that direction as well, even more explicitly than Jonah. Presumably something similar might happen to a prophecy of blessing if the recipients became arrogant. And the example I think of is Paul's warnings in Romans 11 that they should not boast because the Jewish branches were broken out to put Gentile branches in the olive tree. And basically Paul says, well, you can be broken out as well. However, I would not want to make any large use of this kind of qualification, the idea that prophecies can easily be delayed, because I think the Bible has a big emphasis on fulfillment, on God's foreknowledge, God's control of history. And in any case, for one of the Bible code's failed predictions, the assassination of Benjamin Netanyahu, there's no evidence of any kind of repentance or anything of that sort that would open the way for that kind of an outcome. There's another feature that makes me suspicious, and that is, we'll see, the hidden messages in the Bible code are typically either single disjoint words or very short phrases. We're going to do a little tour in a few minutes of all of the charts like this that that Drosnin has in his Bible code, and we'll see that for the spaced letters, which go this way or something of that sort, that we're talking typically words that are words or phrases that are 8 letters long, 9 letters, and then only very few that are anything longer than that. Your really long stuff like this is stuff that's straight out of the text. That is, that's already in there. You know, you already got an intelligible Hebrew text, and basically he is reading something in the text, though sometimes breaking words differently, something of that sort. So the hidden messages of the Bible code are typically single disjoint words, very short phrases. These are naturally rather ambiguous, and there's no context available by which to resolve the ambiguity. This is not typical of biblical prophecies. The even though these sometimes have ambiguities too. Biblical prophecies occur in some kind of a context, but these do not. These remind me a little bit more of Nostradamus' prophecies, although even they are typically in some kind of a context of four lines or something of that sort. So these are even shorter than that. Very serious problem with the Bible code is related to this. How do we know that in a particular passage we have found all the coded words that are necessary to understand the prophecy? For instance, after some of the Bible code prophecies did not come true, Brosnan found the word delayed in several of them. So I've shown you here with the delayed, delayed, delayed here. And these, delayed. And the complication there is, what good is prophecy for warning us or guiding us if somewhere in its vicinity we later find the isolated word not qualified? That obviously complicates things, huh? This resembles the work of astrologers and modern-day occult prophets rather than that of the biblical prophets. But if this is not God's work, whose is it? Neither humans nor angels can tell the future with consistent accuracy. And in any case, there's no reason to believe the Bible texts have been modified since they were first written down by the ancient Jewish prophets. My suggestion is that the phenomena we see here are just a combination of two things, chance and human manipulation. And we want to investigate that this evening. When I'm thinking that the Bible code is the work of human manipulation, I'm not claiming that Drosnin and these other earlier fellows have messed with the text to make things work out. Obviously, they can be checked on that. They've been pretty open. But Drosnin, although as you read the main text, you might wonder where some of these pictures are located, where they come in the Hebrew text. He actually gives you all of that at the end of the book. So you can check that that stuff is there. And they've been open to giving their research program and to, at least buying for a cheap price, the text of the Hebrew Bible in its text as well. So that's not what I'm really thinking about. What I am thinking about is this. Both the prime code word, the one that's in these diagrams, usually vertically, once in a while they have an angle in order to get something else on the page they need. The prime code word, the long one, that's usually vertical, and the secondary prophetic code words which cluster around it are words that have been found by searching the text using various fixed spacings between the letters. But with a long enough text, and not too long a search word, one is bound to find nearly any word that you select. We will suggest in a few minutes here that you should be able to find any eight-letter word in a text as long as the Hebrew Bible. And you'll find lots of nine-letter words and then somewhat fewer of tens and elevens and such as you go through. We'll do some numbers to try and show you some of that. With a long enough text and not too long a search word, one is bound to find nearly any code word selected or some suitable abbreviation or synonym thereof. We'll show that below. So there's nothing to find in code words. Around this prime code word, a context is displayed. You see here, he displays this amount of stuff. And that's not just that block of the Hebrew text, because these things are 4,772 letters apart for each one down vertically. So it's kind of a chunk of a much bigger context, big hunk of the book of Deuteronomy, actually, up there. So around this prime code word, a context is displayed, typically some 700 to 1,500 characters. This is not always real context, however, as each line shown may be hundreds or thousands of letters away from the line displayed above or below it. So the question is, can we find some word or words hidden in this array of 700 to 1,500 characters which seem to relate to the prime word in some predictive way, even without any supernatural intervention? I think we can. And again, I think it's a combination of chance and manipulation. Let's look at the chance first. Now, there are several things going on in the Bible code that encourage or increase the chances of finding words. I perhaps exaggerate slightly by saying the chance of finding these code words is enormously increased by several techniques employed in the Bible code, but certainly substantially increased. All the spacing between words is removed. You can see that in the text here. There's no indication where words break. No Hebrew manuscripts that we know of, no Bible manuscripts, no Hebrew text that we know of, except inscriptions on coins among Hebrew and Hebrew text, comes with no words, no spacing between words. So that's not a characteristic of any ancient Hebrew manuscripts. Finding code words in Hebrew is a little bit more likely also than in most Western languages, because the Hebrew language was written up till past the time of Jesus without vowel markings or with very minimal vowel markings. And so you can you can crunch words that are fairly long into rather short words with fewer letters, if you like, in the way Hebrew was written, than you can in, say, modern English or Latin or something of that sort. This, at least, is standard for modern Hebrew and newspapers and such as well, though. So, granted, that works better for the Hebrew language. What Drosnin and such do is they remove the vowel points used in the standard printed Hebrew Bibles and then supply their own vowels when they read their code words. Likewise, it's easy to find encoded numbers in the Hebrew language, since Hebrew, unlike Western languages, uses all the letters of its alphabet to represent numbers. In a English text, unless the numbers are spelled out, you won't find any numbers unless you actually run into a different set of symbols, the symbols used for numbers. Latin text, some of the letters of the alphabet are used for numbers, but it's I and B and X and L and D and C, and I forgot a few M and such. But the chances that you get a whole string of those together wouldn't be very often. But in Hebrew, anything you get together could function as a number in some way, though there is a certain kind of hierarchy in the numbers that you wouldn't particularly get, except that you could spell either direction. So you can even get around some of that particular problem. So it's a lot easier to find numbers anyway in a Hebrew text than it is in English. So we want to try and evaluate the claims of the Bible code, but most of us pretty serious disadvantage. We're not fluent in modern and ancient Hebrew. I'm a professor of New Testament, not Old Testament. I had a couple of years of Hebrew back somewhere. I can struggle through Hebrew looking up stuff in a lexicon, etc., but I'm not particularly fluent in it, and the people I'm talking to certainly are not. So we can look at one of Drosnin's diagram and have no idea what else the letters that are not marked in the diagram might spell. What do we do about that? Well, my suggestion is a good test for us, so we'll call us Hebrew challenge types, is that we try to do the same thing in an English text as Drosnin and Rips and these guys are doing in the Hebrew text. Take some famous English text, say the Declaration of Independence or the U.S. Constitution or the Gettysburg Address or Shakespeare or something of that sort, and see what we can do. After we've done, had some experience with these materials, we might be able to tell whether or not there's anything really peculiar in the Bible text of the sort alleged by Drosnin and his, the other people that are doing this sort of thing. Well, for our text, I chose the text of the Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. And in the first case, I removed all the vowels. So that's the whole of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address without vowels. I'll tell you in a few minutes why I chose the line length I chose. Chose the text of the Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, converted it to something like compressed and pointed Hebrew text that Drosnin and his friends are using by changing all the letters to capitals and by deleting all the spacing, punctuation, and the vowels A, E, I, and U, though I left Y and W in, which is somewhat like Hebrew using Vav and Yod and such in your text as well. As a result, we wind up with an alphabet of 21 letters, which is not far off the Hebrew 22, and happen to have a text length for the Gettysburg Address of almost exactly 700 letters. I'll use that a couple of times for a simplistic calculation. Well, I spent several hours searching this text, looking for notable things, and found I wasn't getting much of anything. Reason, doing it by hand. So I spent several other hours writing a computer program to do it by computer, and after messing around a little bit, I got something that worked fairly well. The program I wrote reads in whatever text we're going to use, like this. I have to do some massaging on it to make it readable to the computer language I'm using, which is basic. But anyway, it reads in whatever text we're asking it to search. Then it asks us to supply search words, so I type in a search word. And what it does then, it starts at the beginning of the text, which in this case would be over here, and it will look for the first letter in this search word I've told it, and it hits the first place that occurs, and then it goes on until it hits the second letter, and then that specifies the spacing that you've got to have, and then it goes on that spacing and looks and sees if the third letter is there. If it isn't, then that's a bust, goes back and moves the second letter on some further, has a new spacing, tries that one, etc., until it tries all the spacings with the location of the first letter, and writes down any of them that work, then moves over to the next time it finds one, goes to the second letter, does spacing, et cetera, and checks it back. So it runs through a lot of stuff, and it does very fast, even with the kind of computers that we have in our office. So when we do this, here's some results for Gettysburg Address. When I looked through the Gettysburg Address, I was able to find Lincoln spelled phonetically, okay, fortunately. Really good spelled right, but spelled phonetically, and by taking a 66 letter line, I was able to lay that right in the middle vertically right there. So LNCN runs right down the middle. Okay? Now, if we look around it, we find some other interesting things. We find battlefield here, Civil War here, and we find General R. Lee right over here, and we find Abraham here. And I think that's all I've got displayed on this particular overhead. So all of these naturally are spelled without vowels, so I give them down to you how they're spelled there. Now, the two longest code words that I found here, Civil War and Battlefield, five letters and seven letters, are actually a part of the plain text of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. If you look at this carefully, 4 score and 7 years ago doesn't make much, just G. Hour doesn't make much, an R. Fathers, brought, forth, etc. And so we are now on the battlefield of the Great Civil War, etc. Battlefield of that war here, and this Great Civil War, etc. here. So that doesn't look like any big deal. But the same can be said for Drosnin's Assassin Will Assassinate, which is probably the most impressive thing that you get hit with at first. Assassin that will assassinate there. That's actually straight out of Deuteronomy. He's translated a little differently. It's the killer that is killed. And it's the passage about the cities of refuge. I want you to establish 3 cities of refuge here in the West and 3 across the Jordan so that the killer who is killed may flee to them, etc. So actually this big long word, nothing, okay? I mean, it's rather interesting that it happens to fall where Yitzhak Rabin has fallen. What's an ambiguity there? Is Yitzhak Rabin the killer who is killed? Or he is an assassin who will be assassinated? In fact, it's not even passive. You might feel, the Arabs might feel at least, that Yitzhak Rabin is the killer who is killed. Okay? Not a prediction at all. It was a statement of fact. It was the predictions, I suppose, from written the Old Testament. So, I admit that I was disappointed in not being able to find the exact spelling of Lincoln, L-N-C-L-N, in our text. But this is mainly due to the text being as short as it is. We've got a 700-letter text. Bible code has got nothing like that a problem. They've got the resource of the whole Old Testament text, which in a moment we'll see how long that is, to work with. It's important that we think through the probabilities or the statistical expectations involved in what we found in our search of the Gettysburg Address. We have a 21-letter alphabet and a 700-letter text. Now, if we ignore the fact that in Hebrew and in English, etc., some letters are used frequently and some letters are used rarely, but just assume, well, if there are 21 letters, there's about one chance in 21 of finding any of them in a particular spot. 22 letters, one chance in 22. We can actually do some calculations here fairly easily, and we say, how many of a particular letter would you expect to find in a 700-letter text? If there are 21 letters in the alphabet, and basically you can just do that division, and whatever that comes out to, about 33, that's the result, okay? So when you start searching for your first letter, you ought to find about 33 of them. So ignoring the fact that the different letters of the alphabet occur with rather different frequencies, we can still get a seat-of-the-pants estimate by assuming that all letters occur with equal frequency. Then the chance that a particular letter will occur in our text is 700 divided by 21 or 33. We should expect about 33 occurrences of a given letter in our text on the average. For a two-letter search word, either letter can occur in either order. You find again and again, Drosnin has the word spelled backwards, and that is in our direction, so the Hebrew direction, and that sort of thing. For a two-letter word, either letter can occur in either order at any spacing. So the probability is essentially 33 times 33, which is 1089. So you should expect to find, for any two-letter combination, you should expect to find over 1,000 occurrences of that two-letter combination at any kind of different spacing in a 700-word text. Now, what happens when you go for longer stuff? For search words of 3 letters and longer, the rule that the code words appear with equidistant letter spacing now comes into play to make matches much rarer. The third letter must be exactly the same distance from the second as the second is from the first. And it's got to be over on the right, the proper side. In other words, if you're spelling your word this way, you can't turn back and go the other direction to spell the next part. What you get for this is for one letter, 33 of them, and 700-letter text. For 2 letters, expect about 1089. For 3 letters, we get the 1089 divided by 21. And that comes out about 50 something. 52. Round it off. So for a given three-letter word, in just a small thing of 700 letters like this, you should be able to find around 52 occurrences of that, given some problems with the balance, with the edges that I mentioned in the footnote, I think. Yeah, it's in footnote 16. Let's wander over and look at that for your edification. These and the following numbers are doubtless somewhat high. They don't take into account those prospective matches that never occur because of not enough space at the end of the text. For simplicity, we make no attempt to take this into account. That'll throw things off a little. The estimates will be a little bit high here. For a four-letter search word, this is divided by 21 again, which is about 2-point-something or another, 2.5. So in a text of 700 letters, you can expect that a chosen in advance four-letter word will probably occur more than twice. Or let's say, to use a terminology, likely to occur around once, as opposed to 1 in 10 or 1 in, or 10 times. So, for a five-letter word, divide again by 21, and you get about 0.12. And that basically, I think, is the sort of thing we're finding with our Gettysburg Address here. I pointed out here for you four four-letter words. No big deal finding those, and two of them were actually the same word, G and RL. But at least among the stuff I showed you that was spaced, nothing was longer than four letters. You could obviously have found a number of things shorter than that very easily. The stuff up here is longer, but it's actually part of the text, and actually the text has meaning all the way through. So it's not surprising then we couldn't find the particular five-letter combination we were after, LNCLN, that is the actual spelling of Lincoln's name with the vowels taken out. If we want to try and construct a formula for this rough calculation, we can say the probability or expected number n of occurrences of a given search word of a length little n in a text that has t letters in it using an alphabet of a letters is the formula I gave you there. The number n of these occurrences for an n letter for a word of a length a small n is t squared over a to the nth power. Now, let's stop for a moment and apply the same reasoning to the Hebrew alphabet. It would be very similar because it's got 22 letters. And the text of the Hebrew Old Testament. We list a calculation for a 700-letter text and a 1,000-letter text. And that's on the top of page 6 in your handout there. And just walking down through that for a few minutes, a 700-letter text, that is a text exactly, or you know, almost exactly the same length as our Gettysburg Address here, you should expect to find 32 one-letter occurrences, 1,010 two-letter occurrences, 46 three-letter occurrences, 2 four-letter occurrences, and then a little under a tenth of a 1 in 10 five-letter occurrences. That means you've tried out a bunch of five-letter combinations, about 1 in 10 of them would show up. And then as you can see, it goes down rather rapidly, 4 out of 1,000 for 6, 2 out of 10,000 for 7, 10 out of a million for the next one. That sort of thing. For a 1,000-letter text, if you look at it, the 1,000-letter text, the occurrences go up about by factor 2, very close. And the reason is that 700 is to 1,000 as a square root as 1 is a square root of 2. I think is the way it works. So when you square the two, you get the 1 and 2 there. If you look back at our formula, it goes as the text squared. So longer. A text twice as long would be 4 times as likely to have a particular combination. And a text 3 times as long would be 9 times as likely to have a combination. That's what you really begin to crank out on this. Our English text, Gettysburg Address, was 700 letters long with the vowels removed. How big is the Old Testament text? Well, we don't need to have an exact count of letters, though the ancient Hebrew scribes made such things. Rough estimate would be good enough for our purposes. We're already doing this rough formula. I take a text from a Hebrew Bible I had at home with virtually no footnotes, so you get the pages are all about the same length. You don't have anything messing it up. And I take a typical line, 33 letters a line, 220, 25 lines per page, so it gets 650, 750 letters per page. I say let's use the number 700 per page, making our Gettysburg Address just the length of one page in this particular print edition Hebrew Bible. Then we count the number of pages. We find Genesis takes up 84 pages. five books of Moses, 335 pages. Whole Testament takes up 1,360 pages. The number of expected matches of two-letter and longer combinations increases with the square of the text length. You saw in multiplying 33 by 33 above. So a calculation of the number of pages squared, the last column in our table 2, will also be helpful. So there I give you in table 2, number of pages in Genesis, in the Pentateuch, five books of Moses, Old Testament, number of letters in each of those, and the number of pages squared in each of those. If we now take the last column of table 2, pages squared, and compare it with the 700-letter text column back in table 1, we see that the expected matches for seven-letter search words per 700 page is 2 times 10 to the minus 4. That's the last line on the middle column of table 1. And the squared length of Genesis is about, I'm looking at Genesis over here, 7056 is 7 times 10 to the 3. You multiply the two together, and you find that you get 1.4. That is, we should typically expect to find seven-letter matches in Genesis. And in fact, you should generally expect to find any seven-letter match in Genesis 1. For eight-letter matches, we'll probably need the Pentateuch or even the whole Old Testament to get a particular eight-letter match specified in advance without having to depend upon luck too much to work things out. And in fact, that's about what Drosnin gets. He says there's only one eight-letter combination spelling Yitzhak Rabin in the Hebrew Bible. One, okay? So that is about what we'd expect. Well, once we've located a long prime code word, 6 to 8 letters, something of that sort, we ask what kind of size code words would we expect to find displayed in its vicinity. We only get 700 letters of text that we have displayed in the context. Our typical cluster words will be 4 letters or less. It's all above. Our context is 1,400 letters, twice as long, then the chances of any particular combination would be 4 times larger. In general, we can find out the minimum text length of which to expect to commonly find words of length n by solving that equation that we gave you back there, n sub n equals t squared over a to the n, by solving it for t and setting n equal to 1, and a to 22 for the length of the alphabet. We're looking at Hebrew alphabet, and I crank out the results in our table 3, the text needed for a search word. For virtually any three-letter word, you ought to be able to find in a text of just over 100 letters. Any four-letter one, in one, just under 500. For any 500-letter word, you need something over 2,000, etc. You see. For a six-letter word, you need something over 10,000, etc. Well, notice in our example of Gettysburg Address, text length 700, that most of the code words we displayed were 4 letters in length, in accordance with the largest sort of words one would easily find in a text of that length. 700 is between 44 and 2,200, whatever. So you expect to find 4-letter words, but not too many 5-letter words. We could have chosen to display many words of 3 letters or less, but we only chose to display one, GMD, George B. I don't think I even marked that on here. Well, it's on there somewhere. The Xerox, the bowl, doesn't show up very well, so I don't spot it there anywhere, but it's on there somewhere. Take that word for it. We'll come back to this point a little bit later when we discuss the matter of human manipulation. The ability to find and then select out particular smaller words to make it do something that is impressive. We did, however, find 2 even longer words, Civil War, 5 letters, Battlefield, 7 letters, which are longer than we would have antecedently expected. In general, one can expect to find some longer code words even in a text of 700 letters. If our calculation for these probabilities is not too far off, perhaps 1 in 8 of the 5-letter search words we try will be successful. But both of our longer words came from the plain text of the Gettysburg Address, not the coded text, if you like. Just as Drosnin got the assassin who will assassinate 11 letters from the plain text of Deuteronomy 4:42. Naturally, we can expect to get long, meaningful phrases from the plain text for our context, since this, by definition, is a meaningful connected text. So in our example, we could have expanded Civil War to Great Civil War, 8 letters, and Battlefield to Great Battlefield, 10 letters, or even Great Battlefield of That War, 16 letters, by just moving out a little further in the same text and looking at what Lincoln actually said. Let's now look at the decoding diagrams given in the Bible code. That's these things that I've been showing you a few of. There are some 80 or so of these diagrams. The couple ones I've got here are both Yitzhak Rabin. This one's a Netanyahu one. This is the Yitzhak Rabin one with some of the other stuff coded out in it. Amir up here, and name of the assassin who will assassinate, name of the assassin, things of that sort. that he has there. I'm not going to show you a bunch of those on here because I don't have too many of these inserts, and Xeroxing onto transparency is cost big money. But I do list them all for you on the text, okay? The text of the paper I hand out here. I list about 80 of them, maybe 90 of them here. And what I'm going to do is walk you down the middle column of that. Let's now look at the decoding diagrams given in the Bible code to see what sorts of words Drosnin has found. We'll tabulate the length of the words which Drosnin marks and comments on. Our table 4 will distinguish between coded words, which we're going to call spaced words, and these are words in which the letters are separated in the text, either like this, or the vertical ones that are not separated are actually separated in the text, like this. Whereas these jobs, they're right part of the Hebrew text, and although occasionally Drosnin is reading them backwards or dividing the words a little bit different, you've certainly got a meaningful text there already, so it's no clear evidence of anything big going on there. So we'll distinguish between coded words labeled spaced, which have some space between letters in the original text that are often aligned vertically in the diagrams and no spacing, and plain text words labeled unspaced, which have no spaces between letters in the original text, even though some of these will have the words divided differently than the Bible be read backwards. To give some idea of what is going on in each diagram, we'll also spell out, sometimes abbreviate, the main code word in each. So on page 15, you got the same thing we had on the cover, an 8-letter word, Yitzhak Rabin, and then this 11-letter thing that's in the text, assassinate. Over in page 16, you have the same chart, but he now put some other stuff on it, but it's still the spaced one. The code word is still only the 8-letter Yitzhak Rabin. Page 17, you've got a 7-letter, a 6-letter, a 4-letter, and a 4-letter word coded, of which the long one is Rabin assassination. Page 19, you've got 7443, fire on 3 Shavuot, the particular month of the Hebrew year, although notice in one of the other ones it was Yuli, July, which is not the Hebrew name, or at least not the Hebrew calendar. Well, we'll get a few more shots at Yitzhak Rabin. It's fairly obvious as you look through the book that is his big hit, if you like. So single big hits ought to be awfully big before one is heavily impressed by that sort of thing. Page 32, he gets a 7-letter word, Clinton, and 33, a 7-letter word, Watergate. We're talking the length of these in Hebrew, I understand. An 8-letter word on 34, economic collapse. 7-letter on 35, man on the moon. Page 36, 8, Shoemaker Levy, and gets finds that in another location in the Hebrew text. So there's one 8-letter word that occurs twice in the Hebrew text. Hitler, that's only a 5-letter word, however. Page 40, Shakespeare. Page 47, Wright Brothers on 48, Edison on 48, Newton on the 49, Einstein on 49, back to Yitzhak Rabin on 54, same location, okay? 55, Holocaust of Israel, 9-letter word. 56, Atomic Holocaust, 10-letter word. 58, the next war, 9-letter word. Libyan artillery, and then a 10-letter Atomic Holocaust, but that's the same one back on page 56. Atomic artilleryman, only 8-letter word. Autobus, 7-letter word. Prime Minister Netanyahu, 9-letter word. Back to Yitzhak Rabin, same passage again. Next war, again, that was done before. Prime Minister Netanyahu was done before. In 1995-96, a 6-letter word in Hebrew. World War, 8-letter. Atomic Holocaust, but that's the same one we saw before, 10. End of days, 7. That occurs several different places. Made by computer. Only 5-letter word. Bible code, only 6-letter word. So we jump over some crummy ones there. 11, President Kennedy to die. That was impressive. 12-letter word, captivity of Toledana. You may have no idea who he is, but the people in Israel know because he was one of their Israeli soldiers that was taken and tortured to death. 8, Oklahoma on page 17. Page 18, Mira Building. That sounds impressive, huh? And then about McVeigh, his name is Timothy. 9 letters, page 119. The longest one is page 134, 13-letter, Armageddon, Assad, Holocaust. I've abbreviated that, but it's actually spelled out, although it's only 13 letters in Hebrew. And that's the big one. You can look through the rest of them, 6, 7, 7, 7, 7, 8, 7, 6, etc., 9s down through there until we get to the end. Well, looking at the middle column of this table, we're down on page 12 back in the text now. We see that a number of 8-letter code words have been found, somewhat fewer 9-letter, and one each of 10, 11, 12, and 13-letter words, Now, most of which are actually phrases. I don't spike them in phrases, but I do. Hebrew language doesn't have a lot of real long words. So I list for you here the occurrences of the 8-letter, 9-letter, 10-letter, 11-letter, 12-letter, 13-letter words. So before we get there, 3, 6, about 9 8-letter words, and 6 9-letter words, and 1, 10, 1, 11, 1, 12, 13. We'd expect, given the length of the text of the Old Testament, that one could find virtually any 8-letter word desired, or at least a synonym. It should also contain lots of 9-letter words. The text length of the Old Testament, 952,000 letters, is over 90% of what is needed for a 9-letter search word to be very common. That is, you should be able to expect to find virtually any. 10-letter and longer words or phrases would be much rarer, but there are also many more such word combinations. With enough searching, investigators are bound to find some. We don't know how much searching they did. This stuff's been going on for 15 years, and computers have been getting better. Hey, what have they found with the computer? You know, they found some pretty complicated prime numbers in the last 15 years. So what do we see there? Well, at this point, it's possible to see a real problem with the idea that the Bible code is the work of God or even a very clever author. Such a divine or human author who's constructing the text of the Bible from scratch ought to be able to insert within it a meaningful coded text of almost any length. A good experiment would be to try constructing such a text yourself. Well, after having written that a few weeks ago, I decided I'll do that. So, I'm here. And I spent about 2 hours constructing this text, which is not the greatest in the world. I'll read the text to you here. Back in your field. Suppose the first 2 lines of the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb. Many that cover a story with the media will admit that they like spin. Good tales at times lend a real wallop to making a moral. But at the same time, it seems a fearful shame that easier events, easier events can never just work that way. As we show what the tale is about, we'll bend details to set the story in that world we want to. Now, that's kind of a crummy text, I'll admit that. But I was trying to get I try to get the letter in every 6 letters, okay? That doesn't leave you much flexibility. If you backed out to 12 or 15 letters, you would be able to make a text that made better sense than that. But that has Mary has a little lamb, her sheep, its fleece is white as snow. Okay, get a 41-letter message encoded in the text of 246. 11, President Kennedy to die. That was a 12-letter woman. Captivity of Toledana, you may have no idea. 8, Oklahoma on page 17. Page 18, Mira Building. That sounds impressive, huh? And then about McVeigh, his name is Timothy. The longest one is page 134, 13-letter, Armageddon, Assad, Holocaust. Looking at the middle column of this table, we're down on page 12 back in the text now. We see that a number of 8-letter coded words somewhat fewer 9-letter, and one each of 10, 11, 12, and 13-letter words, most of which are actually phrases. I don't spike them, phrases, but I do. Hebrew language doesn't have a lot of real long words, so I list for you here the occurrences of the 8-letter, 9-letter, 10-letter, 11-letter, 12-letter, 13-letter words. So before we get there, 3, 6, about 9 8-letter words, and 6 9-letter words, and 1, 10, 1, 11, 1, 12, 13. We'd expect, given the length of the text of the Old Testament, that one could find virtually any 8-letter word desired, or at least a synonym. It should also contain lots of 9-letter words. The text length of the Old Testament, 952,000 letters, is over 90% of what is needed for a 9-letter search word to be very common. That is, you should be able to expect to find virtually any. 10-letter and longer words or phrases would be much rarer, but there are also many more such word combinations. With enough searching, investigators are bound to find some. We don't know how much searching they did. This stuff's been going on for 15 years, and computers have been getting better. What have they found with the computer? They found some pretty complicated prime numbers in the last 15 years. So what do we see there? Well, at this point, it's possible to see a real problem with the idea that the Bible code is the work of God or even a very clever author. Such a divine or human author who's constructing the text of the Bible from scratch ought to be able to insert within it a meaningful coded text of almost any length. A good experiment would be to try constructing such a text yourself. Well, after having written that a few weeks ago, I decided I'll do that. So, I'm here. And I spent about 2 hours constructing this text, which is not the greatest in the world. I'll read the text to you here. It's back in one of your footnotes. In fact, you read it. It's footnote 16 or something like that. I'll get back to that. No, 18. I spent a couple of hours on the following, which encodes the first two lines of the nursery rhyme, Harry Had a Little Lamb. Many that cover a story with the media will admit that they like spin. Good tales at times lend a real wallop to making a moral. But at the same time, it seems a fearful shame that easier events can never just work that way. As we show what the tale is about, we'll bend details to set the story in that world we want to. Now, that's kind of a crummy text, I'll admit that. But I was trying to get the letter in every six letters, okay? That doesn't leave you much flexibility. If you backed out to 12 or 15 letters, you'd be able to make a text that made better sense than that. Mary has a little lamb, her sheep, its fleece is white as snow. Okay? It'll get 41 letter message encoded in the text of 246. That took me 2 hours to do that, with help from a computer. That is, I could set the stuff up on the screen and mess around with it a little bit, so it's faster than doing it by hand. Yet the longest coded words or phrases, not the plain text or redivided plain text words, the longest coded words or phrases that occur in the Bible code are Captivity of Toledano, 12 letters, and Armageddon, Assad, Holocaust, 13 letters. Getting long words in plain text is much easier, as we saw with our Gettysburg example. If you go over to the plain text as opposed to the coded text, you're obviously going to get long stuff. There's stuff there already. And occasionally you'll see something that you think is apropos to the code word we found. Yet the longest examples used by Drosnin in the Bible code are to shut up the words and seal the book until the end, 24 letters, straight out of Daniel 12, and the writing of God engraved on the tablets, 21 letters, straight from Exodus 32. It seems like a text the length of the Bible supply virtually any eight-letter word you wish in the form of code, many nine-letter combinations, long stretches of plain text, and a few long coded words. Thus, the phenomena of the Bible code do not appear to be out of the range of chance. Well, that's the end of our discussion of chance. Now we wander over into the question of human manipulation. The presentations by Drosnin and company, however, are not fully explained by chance. They're an excellent example of intelligent design at work, namely the designing intelligences of these guys. Comparing tables 2 and 3 above, find your way back to 2 and 3, page 6, page 7, comparing tables 2 and 3 above, we see that for the Old Testament or even the Pentateuch, finding code words of 8 letters should not be difficult. Words of 7 letters will be on average 22 times more common, 6-letter words 484 times, 5-letter words over 10,000 times more common. Thus, around any given 8-letter word, there should be lots of 6 and 7-letter words and literally 4 in the short words. It should not be surprising, then, that by some astute selection of data, the investigator should be able to assemble a constellation of these shorter words that are striking fulfillments regarding persons or events in the past. But as for getting the future right, the investigator, not knowing the future himself, will be no better than any other merely human prognosticator. Thus, this, I think, explains Drosnin's dilemma, that God Almighty would be needed to get right all the stuff that Drosnin finds if someone centuries ago really put it there, but that God would not make all the mistakes that turn up when Drosnin decodes future. Let's go back and have a look at our Gettysburg Address again. So far, I've presented no prophecy in connection with Lincoln's speech, so one might propose that Abe himself had put in the code words LNCN, GNRL, GMD, and BRHM, if the antecedent probability to do any such thing weren't so small. And indeed, nothing we've presented so far would have been beyond his knowledge at the time he gave the speech. But we're not finished yet. We do a search on Booth, BTH, and Grant, GRMT, and lo and behold, we find an address in striking fulfillments of prophecy. Selecting one out of the 10 matches found for Grant, 3 of the 63 for Booth, and another of the 4 matches found for, LNCN and its reverse, we assemble the following picture. Over here, you might be able to see it a little better. I'll try to mark it at least. Booth's name appears above and behind Lincoln. Let's get Lincoln in here. This has got Lincoln in the same place it did before because that's the only occurrence of that place there. Booth's name, missed the T, Booth's name, appears above and behind Lincoln at the top of the figure, just as he did in the presidential box of Ford's Theater in that fake moment. Lincoln is shot and falls prone. L-N-C-N, okay? He's now lying flat, okay? Lincoln is shot and falls prone. Stretched out Lincoln, crossing the original upright Lincoln in the middle of the picture. Booth, jumping from the box, falls awkwardly to the stage. Upside Booth, down below Lincoln, okay? Not only is the fate of Lincoln, no, excuse me, Booth escapes the scene, Booth going off the left in our picture here. B-T-H. Okay? Not only is the fate of Lincoln prophetically sketched for us in his address, but the outcome of the war itself is seen in the pairing by the left margin. Grant and Lee are crossed. Here's G-R-N-T. And let me switch pins here. Here's credit for Lee. G-E-R-L. Okay? Grant and Lee are crossed, with Lee descending and Grant remaining on the level, hinting at the campaign of attrition which brought the war to a close. Is this really in Lincoln's Gettysburg Address? Yes, in the sense that all the letters are there and the location shown. But all of Shakespeare is in Webster's Dictionary. The locating of the words, especially their assembly and presentation, is my work, human manipulation. Let's try another example, this time with the text of Gettysburg Address without the vowels removed. Though Lincoln does not appear in this version, Abe occurs frequently. We have selected four of the 65 occurrences we found. The three that are vertical with the 50-letter line length we decided to use. So we chose to use a 50-letter line length because that makes three of the Abes vertical and one other horizontal. So I mark those Abes off for you. I'll use blue again. Abe here. A, B, E, and another A, B, E in the same line with the same B, but a narrower spacing. That's two of them there. To the vertical Abe share, B in common, located in the fourth column from the left. The other vertical Abe is in the ninth column from the right. Okay. The horizontal Abe begins one letter line below and five columns to the right of the shared B. Okay. So there are the four Abes. One, two, three, four. Out of 60 some, remember. Out of 65. Booth occurs only once in the text. Put them in red. The B is in the sixth line, four letters from the right B. And it goes back this way. O, O, T, H. Okay. So Booth goes back that way. That's what the thing is. From the sixth line, four letters from the right end, and the word angles back in the 7 o'clock direction with each succeeding letter behind the eight letters like previous. The H located three lines directly above the E and horizontally. Further searches located died four times, of which we use two. Shot nine times, we use one. Gun nine times, we use two. Ford once. The final D of one of the dies, we chose is also the final D in Ford. So you got Ford coming down here and died coming down that way, okay. And coincides with the first D in the plain text, honor dead. Honored dead. Died, Ford, Booth, gun, and shot, all angle down. Let's see if I can find gun and shot for you. We'll switch over to green to avoid cluttering this too bad. Died, Ford, Booth, gun, and shot, all angle downward in the general direction of this plain text phrase. And shot even pierces the horizontal A. S-H-O-T, and there's the horizontal A right there. I leave to your imagination the pattern that a clever presenter could make out of all of this. There were, of course, plenty of relevant search words which we could not find in the text. Conclusions. We provide a brief tour of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address and the statistics for word matching both here and in the Hebrew text of the Old Testament. It appears that nothing particularly unusual has been found in the alleged Bible code that cannot be explained by common probability and human manipulation. Certainly the level of prediction in the Bible code would be impressive if it were the work of an ancient human, but it would be just about right for a modern interpreter, and rather lousy for the God who knows the end from the beginning and will do all the purposes. In other words, you get Drosnin climbing out on some limbs and then getting shot off of them, which is what you'd expect with somebody guessing about the future, Gene Dixon or the weather forecast or various other people of that sort. I conclude that there is no reason to believe that God has hidden such material in the Bible. One little sort of application of all of this, if you like. It appears to me that if we put a great deal of trust in this sort of material, we'll be led away from the details and standards of biblical prophecy into the very divergent details and standards of occult prophecy. That would be a fearful thing indeed. An example of rejecting God's living water to dig for ourselves cisterns that won't hold any water. May the Lord protect us from any error of that sort. I'll be glad to try and field some questions, as long as you don't try anything too complicated on me here. And we'll see what we can do. Well, you can certainly say them forwards and then record it and play the recording backwards. Get into some of the stuff that's been floating around in recent years. That rock music has Hail Satan and that sort of thing backwards in it. And I don't know if there's anything to that, or that's just imagination of the guys who are messing with it. I can imagine some rock groups might very well want to do something like that. But, it's certainly, you can write it. Can you pronounce it? How would it sound? Well, if you pronounce it forward, you can record it and write it backwards. That's all I can say. Obviously, when you actually look through Drosnin's stuff, he does a fair amount of stuff spelled backwards. Running up instead of down, or running the wrong way for Hebrew, run that way from your direction. Spelling it back. One of your friends spells back this direction. Text there. Further. I'm not sure what to tell you about that. Somewhere, I don't remember whether it's in the book or whether it's in a TV interview, he claimed there's only one text in the Hebrew Old Testament. One on the computer. When you look at Hebrew manuscripts, there are variants left and right, and there are certainly lots of multiple alternative spellings and lots of things. So he's wrong about that. Magicians have often claimed that scientists are the easiest people to fool when you do magic tricks. And you might be running a little bit of that sort of thing here. The article in the back by Rips and the guys that was in a statistical journal sounds impressive to me, but I'm not a statistician. So I don't know what to tell you about that. They basically have a bunch of names of rabbis, and then they claim that they find either a name of their location or a year that is related to their death or flourishing or something, and that's sort of in your context. And then try and show you that they randomized the text, you don't get that. And if you reverse the words, you don't get that, and a couple other sorts of things. I haven't done it, so I can't tell you too much about that. If they've done the stuff in advance and then start messing with it, the stuff you've already picked out of your text, when you mess with the text, is going to disappear. Whether they've actually done a thorough search in one of these randomized texts to see whether you don't get stuff like that, I'm skeptical of that, frankly. Because here, I've done something with a text that's very short, I haven't done anything complicated, and you find all sorts of stuff, given that it's a very short text. So, I don't know. Yeah, question, comment here. Mm-hmm. That can hardly be so. They say something like that, I don't remember exactly what they said, and I wasn't reading that critically through the thing. There have been some counter stuff where they've done Moby Dick and stuff and have found things. So having just done the short text, unless you're ready to say that God hid these coded things in the Gettysburg Address, both versions and all that sort of stuff. And see, because I selected out all these things, you know, I used one of the few of the aves out of 60 of them, etc. I'm skeptical of that stuff. The most impressive thing, I think, would be if they could find a 200 or 300 word text running through some passage that made sense. You know, equal spacing, a cross space thing of some sort that was long, that was way out of line with what you'd expect for the size text. That would be very impressive. And they're already having a little trouble at the 13 one. Assad, Armageddon, Holocaust, or something is certainly not what I would call a phrase. I mean, it's actually clumping a couple things together, so already I think they're reaching when they start getting out of that distance. Hard to know what's saying on that. Just show you what I've done. That's basically what I'm doing. Yes, question. Yeah. Yeah. Familiar is too strong. I've read it somewhere back 15, 20 years ago. Basically, what he claimed to find was lots of numerical things by which he felt that you had hidden messages in that sense, that there was this, numerical, unusual numerical patterns, etc. If you do the looking and you do the presenting, you can make some pretty impressive stuff. But if you actually go through trying to see if there's anything really unusual there, I don't think you're going to find anything. One thing I remember reading it, and I say it's been 15, 20 years now, was that he started using neighbors. No, this is an exact match of seven. This is one off above. This is one off below, etc. When you start using neighbors, you begin to get a lot more things happening in your head. He did not start that idea. Ivan Panin, at least, was doing it at the beginning of early in the century. It resembles a little bit some of the stuff you see in rabbinic material, and particularly in Kabbalah. Jewish Kabbalah, where they are into number mysticism and things of that sort as well. I would not be surprised to see some more resurgence of that with computers able to look for things of that sort. But at least in what I've looked at here, I think it's basically like seeing shapes in the clouds. Are they really there? Yeah, the shapes are really there. Do they actually tell you anything? Definitely. I think that's what we're getting here, just in finding the two main things, I think, that I see here is you're not finding really long stuff. You're finding stuff kind of just on the boundary of what you would expect statistically. And you're then able to select out what you're going to look at and look around over a large area, but then show a little bit of it. And almost a giveaway in this thing is that he uses Yitzhak Rabin about 15 times in here out of 90 panels. And that's obviously his best shot. Yeah. Yeah. No. He's not doing anything with that. Let me find you one here. Yeah, this is that's a Netanyahu one. But here is the end of one of his texts, which is Death July to Amman, and the noon there is not a final noon. Though it might be a final noon in the text, but he hasn't written up the text with final noons or anything, so he's just used the standard letters all the way through. And they're not doing anything. That would obviously complicate things a great deal if you treated those as separate letters and you're still trying to find things. Thank you much.